not going to really.
If you like my Instagrams, click follow on my Instagram account so that you can see notifications when my pictures are showing up.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. Number 227, and I'm your host, Matt.
And I'm Scott.
And I'm Ash.
And awesome. Together we form Rated NA.
And I form the dick.
Ash is salty today.
I form the asshole.
Yes.
Oh. This we haven't done this in a while, guys.
Yeah. We have not. Hey, yeah. I was wondering about something, and maybe you guys can help me clear this up. You know the song "What a Fool Believes"?
Yeah.
By the Doobie Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's like the riff in that song sounds suspiciously like the riff in "Steal Away." We're talking about yacht rock. Robbie Dupree's "Steal Away."
Oh.
Bears an uncanny resemblance to "What a Fool Believes" by the Doobie Brothers.
Interesting.
Huh. Yeah. And I was very disappointed in the internet because there was no mashup of these two songs on YouTube.
Did you build one?
I did not, but I probably should. But it's the same thing. It's they both have the same riff. Yeah.
Interesting.
Until I did it, but I had "Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now" stuck in my head all day by Starship.
Wow.
It's a great song. It's from Mannequin.
Is it on the Mannequin soundtrack? Well, that's fantastic.
We feel this thing together.
Yeah.
Standing tall forever. I used to love Mannequin. Oh my gosh.
Man.
Who was the Mannequin? Was it Kim Cattrall?
Yes.
Man, we should do a Mannequin podcast.
Was it Kim Cattrall?
I think it was. It was Kim Cattrall and the guy from Herman's Head.
Oh, wow.
His name's like Mogrund Munsey or something like that. What was the guy from Herman's Head's name?
I thought it was, did I put another actor in for him? I did. No, Andrew McCarthy.
Andrew McCarthy and Kim Cattrall.
Yeah,
Andrew
Cattrall. McCarthy and Kim Cattrall.
Yep. Andrew McCarthy, that's right. The guy from Herman's Head is in Mannequin 2 on the move. My apologies.
Okay. Yeah. Because Andrew McCarthy's in like 16 Candles, right? Or Pretty in Pink or something.
Man.
Pretty in Pink. St. Elmo's Fire and all that. Yeah.
I definitely think we should throw out this entire beginning.
No way.
Important content these children need to learn.
Yeah, and plus St. Elmo's Fire, another great song.
It is a great song.
Man in Motion.
Yeah.
I'm a man in motion. Anyways.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
This podcast is brought to you by Loot Crate.
Nice.
Loot Crate is the monthly subscription box where you get a box full of nerdy awesomeness. Or lootiness, as Ash has tried to get me to say every podcast, apparently.
Get looty.
In the mail to your doorstep. Just head on over to lootcrate.com/ratedNA and use the code ratedNA. You get a little discount and you help out the podcast. And this month's theme for April is Quest. Sometimes life's little adventures turn into big sweeping epics. I have no idea how much of this Ash just wrote to hear me say.
This is all real.
Is this all real? Okay.
It's all real, yeah.
You've thrown me off my game, and I can never trust this copy ever. Sometimes life's little adventures turn into big sweeping epics. We salute these things often unexpected. We salute these often unexpected journeys with April's theme: Quest, Harry Potter, Labyrinth, Vikings, Uncharted 4, and more. The monthly t-shirt and loot pin is joined in by four more exclusives this month. That's awesome. I actually think I saw they said they're doing a Labyrinth shirt. I think
cool.
They teased the shirt That's was really a Labyrinth cool. shirt or something along those lines, which looked really, really awesome. So subscribe by April 19th, which if you're listening to this on time, who knows when you're listening to it. If it's the future, call us and let us know what that was like.
Come on. This will get out by 4/19.
Well, I know, I'm saying, but they could be listening.
Oh, in the future.
It's not live radio. They could be listening at any time.
Yes.
It's true.
They could be listening in 2037.
Oh my gosh. I pity them.
And then like they're going to be like, I should have let them know what that 20 years was like.
Yeah.
Call us back on their future phones, which have time travel abilities, and tell us, hey guys, don't elect Donald Trump. Like that's the kind of thing that they would say. So subscribe by 419. Go to lootcrate.com/ratedNA. Use the code ratedNA. Get, I think, 10% off, but don't quote me on that one. And get a nice discount and help out the podcast in the same time. So thank you, Loot Crate. We appreciate it. And we appreciate everybody that supports us. Thank you, guys.
Fantastic.
Let's do the rundown.
Oh, the rundown. Sorry, it's been a while, guys.
With The Rock?
The rundown? Oh, yeah. We've retreaded this ground before, have we not?
I believe we have, yeah.
The rundown.
We've said everything at least once at this
point. Yeah, I don't think there's a new joke in any of us.
No, that's fine. You mentioned Donald Trump, and I immediately thought of President Camacho, so I got sidetracked on the show notes.
Yeah, we're going to water the crops with Gatorade.
Yeah. Do you think he's seen a big uptick in sales of that film?
Since
this is all like Mike Judge is sitting in his house and like a check for $3,000 shows up.
I hope that like Idiocracy and Demolition Man are both like selling like gangbusters right now or something.
Yeah, for sure. I think I like Demolition Man if I remember correctly. Was that a bad movie? Like, was it awesomely bad?
No, it was really bad.
Yeah. Okay. We're on the same page. So this week, of course, we'll talk about what we've been up to. There has been some news. Virtual reality is here again. And a bunch of other hardware news. Instagram is making the internet thirsty. And then in the reviews, we're going to talk about The Division and Daredevil Season 2, spoiler free. And then our Naquato, which we haven't done in a while, is which character team or IP do you wish would get the Netflix series treatment? Let us know.
Sweet.
Oh, so Ash, what have you been up to?
Oh, man. Let's see. So I've been driving a lot because of work. So I've been listening to a lot of new podcasts that I haven't been listening to before. Go through and give shout outs to some of them. I actually did listen to Girl Tribe Gaming podcast, which Scott recommended a little while ago. And I checked them out and they're really fun. It's just two ladies that talk about games, review games every week. Pretty fun. I really like it.
I think their backstory is that they sort of they were like a gaming group.
Oh yeah.
And then started a podcast.
They're good. They really like each other. It's like one of those podcasts where it's like they're not jaded gamers. And they they actually enjoy what they're doing. They enjoy games a lot. You can just tell and how they describe games. So that's kind of refreshing. A new one came out called Status Effect that I've been enjoying. They're only on their fourth episode. But Status Effect is Malik from Nerdist and Michelle Morrow, who does a lot of stuff for Blizzard. And they have a new gaming podcast where they interview people in the gaming industry. And it's also really lighthearted, really fun. And they got into iTunes New and Noteworthy in their first week.
Cool.
I guess we're not new anymore.
We're not really new. I don't think they look at 260 episode shows.
Yeah, definitely not.
You know, somewhere around 500, someone's going to take notice and be like, these guys, they've been doing this for a long time. Yeah.
They're the worst.
And we're going to go, we don't care, and then keep recording.
Right. Still listening to Sword and Scale, that true crime podcast, and it's pretty incredible. So if you haven't checked out Sword and Scale, that's a good one. And other than that, let's see, playing Division with you guys, which has been fun. Absolutely. I did plow through Daredevil, which we'll talk about in the review section, and I've been doing a lot of house cleaning stuff, which is not exciting and nobody wants to hear about it. So let's talk about Scott.
Spring cleaning. I have also been watching Daredevil. Just watched an episode or two, but it's fun. It's fun for me because I know so little about comics, even though, you know, I basically, anytime there's comic TV and film, I always hit you guys up. I'm like, who's this person? Who's that person? So of course I was like, dumb enough to not figure out what was happening in season two. And I was like, oh, cool. You know? So, everything has been surprising for me in the show so far, which is nice. And then I started playing a game called Oxenfree because, I saw it. I've been streaming a lot to Windows 10 with the Xbox app from the Xbox One. And when you open up the Xbox app, it's like, hey, you might be interested in blah, blah, blah. So, I actually picked up Oxenfree on the Windows store, the Windows 10 store. Hmm. Which is interesting. It was super easy, of course, but it is a, I don't know. You could look at it and think that it's a point and click adventure, but I haven't done any real puzzle solving in the game, but it's about this, group of teenagers that go to this island to, it's supposed to be like their high school party night, you know, where they go and just have fun. And this island is, like an old military base and campsite and all this other weird stuff is going on there. And of course there's like drama between the characters and, you know, hijinks ensue, and then something semi-creepy happens, and then you have to sort of unravel the story of the game. But it's really fun and interesting. A lot of the game is dialogue driven, and the main protagonist is the voice actress who was in Tales from the Borderlands, but was not Laura Bailey, but was the other character, the sister.
Yeah, okay. Sister.
Whose name escapes me, and I'm very sorry for that.
Yeah, I can't remember right now either.
Yeah. So there's like five main characters in the game, and it's cool because you can kind of choose the dialogue options that you want. And the thing that I found to be really good about the game so far in the few hours that I've played is that the speaking between the characters does a really great job when you're talking to them, but then you start to do something else. So if you are having a conversation with a character and then you go and interact with an object, you know, your character will talk about the object and then they'll sort of go back to talking to the other characters, which I think is pretty interesting and cool.
Is it Aaron Yvette?
Yes. Yes. It is Aaron. What was that? Aaron Yvette, you said?
Yvette. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds right. So yeah, she's great. Dialogue is, voice acting is great. And the story is pretty interesting so far. And it uses an interesting, mechanic with a radio that your character carries around. So it kind of has that creepy element of, you know, you scanning the radio dial for frequencies and like weird, you hear like weird things on the radio. So it's a really fun game, and I would recommend it if you're into, you know, adventure games or, you know, narrative and things like that. Oh, and Fuller House. Have we talked about Fuller House yet?
We have not.
On the podcast?
No. I mean, we've talked about it, so I feel like that's probably funny.
Well, I started watching Fuller House. It's dumb fun. I'm sure everybody who wants to watch it has probably watched it at this point, but it's silly. Have you guys
watched 2 episodes of it?
Yeah, I think I got through that amount too.
Yeah, the first episode is sort of like a fan episode, you know, like that you would go see it at Comic-Con or something.
Sure. Well, they do like the callbacks to the old series, and
yeah,
like the whole thing is service essentially.
Yeah, it's like a total like weird reunion reboot kind of thing. But then after that, it just sort of becomes a sitcom. But I just think it's interesting that in this day and age, there's, you know, a sitcom that's got a studio audience. Like, you don't see much stuff like that anymore. And I don't know. I think what they are trying to achieve kind of worked out well. Like, it's still Full House, but it has an awareness of the original show, which I think is kind of interesting. So that's pretty much it for me. How about you, Matt?
Some of the same. I started Daredevil. I put it off for like days, and I just was afraid that if I started, I wouldn't stop watching it.
And that's where you're at.
Yeah, which is pretty much what happened. I started, and we went through 3 episodes in a sitting, and then Melissa fell asleep in the 4th one, so I stopped it.
Yeah. Hey, does it matter if you watch Jessica Jones? Do you have to watch that to?
I mean, Ash can probably answer it better. I don't think it does, though.
No. There are
there's like crossover characters.
Yeah. There's a one or two. I don't want to get too into it, but there is a little bit of crossover that has a little bit more impact if you have seen Jessica Jones. But I would say absolutely not. You don't have to.
I don't need to like drop.
There's no real continuity.
Okay.
The events might even be happening like roughly at the same time for all.
I mean, you should honestly be watching it just because Jessica Jones is very good.
Oh, that's what I've heard.
Amazing in it.
But yeah. Just for some reason, we just started watching Daredevil. Like it just happened. Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm loving it so far. I was a huge Punisher fan as a kid growing up. I read a lot of Punisher comics, and it's made me want to go back and read some of the storylines that I either missed or happened like in weird gaps where I wasn't reading. And I really love how they introduced the character. I love John Bernthal, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love him in it, so we'll talk about that later. I've been watching a bunch of movies lately, which has been really cool. I prefaced this, I think, last week, but I watched a movie called Dope a few weeks ago, and it's on Netflix right now, and it is really just a really good movie. Like, there's comparisons. Like, it's like a high school coming of age movie, essentially.
Yeah.
Did you watch it, Ash?
No, it's in my queue, though.
It's a high school coming of age movie about this kid who gets mixed up in drugs, not doing drugs, but like in selling drugs, essentially. He's growing up in Compton, and it's just like really bad, and kind of like it just shows this very smart kid who's like different getting caught up in the wrong thing, and then how he kind of gets out of it and becomes a man, quote unquote. But it's just like, it's written really well. It's acted really well. It's funny at a lot of parts. It's like heartwarming, and like the whole, it's just done so friggin' well. I can't recommend it enough to everybody. It's one of those movies that you'll be watching it just kind of like quietly, and then by the end of it, you just kind of like, if you're with somebody, you'll just look at them and be like, that was really good. Like, it just kind of takes you by surprise, sort of at the level of quality that the movie is. And it's basically like a first time writer. He's not first time. I think he's done like a couple of other smaller projects, and I think one slightly bigger one, but this is kind of his first, like, you know, 100% him piece, mm-hmm. right? Written and directed.
That's awesome.
And then I also watched Steve Jobs. Have you guys watched that one? The newer one with Michael Fassbender?
I have not.
No.
Really recommend that as well. Sorkin is just ridiculous. He's a very good writer. Mm-hmm. And it is to Apple kind of what Social Network was to Facebook. Like, it's just done super well. It's written and directed very well, acted perfectly. Like, Michael Fassbender doesn't look anything like Steve Jobs through the whole thing, but yet the entire movie, you do not question him being Steve Jobs the whole time. And it's shot really interestingly. It's only four vignettes. It's four scenes. And each one of them is the, like, 25 minutes leading up to a major product launch that Steve Jobs is about to do. So, like, the first one's the first Macintosh. The second one is that next company he launched. The third one is his something else, or maybe it's just three. And the third one is the iMac, the first iMac.
Yeah.
But it's done super well, written really, really well, acted really, really well, and kind of like inspiring in a way and not inspiring in other ways. And I've heard there's a lot of like liberty taken sort of with the truth of what happened at the moment in certain scenes, but it's done well. So definitely recommended, way over the Ashton Kutcher one that got put out. Played a bunch of Division with you guys. I started Firewatch, which I'm really enjoying.
Nice.
Yeah, it's just like a really calm game. You just kind of play it.
That's next in my list.
Nice.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear what you think.
And then a bunch of TV, like regular TV, like Broad City and Portlandia are both back. So I kind of watched all of that that's been out so far. And I don't know what else. A bunch of stuff's coming back. So just trying to keep up with everything. Shield is pretty good right now.
True that. Right?
Yeah. So that's it. But go watch Dope. I can't say that enough. I think the movie got overlooked pretty badly in theaters, so everybody should like uprise about how great this movie is. And
I will definitely check it out.
It has been noted.
News.
All right,
so
guys.
VR is here.
It is. We have news topics, but of course we don't really talk about, you know, we're not breaking news on this show, but I really just wanted to sort of talk with you guys about some of the things that have happened recently.
Right. So this doesn't just mean you bought a Virtual Boy, right? Like on eBay or something.
I probably should, right? This would be the right time.
Yes.
Right time to do that.
Is anyone going to remember the Virtual Boy? Who's old enough that listens to us?
I am. I'm old enough to remember Dactyl
you
Nightmare.
You had one, didn't you?
No, I never, no. I never actually
Dactyl Nightmare. We were actually talking about Dactyl Nightmare today.
That's why I said VR is here again, right?
Yeah, because nobody remembers Dactyl Nightmare, so let's not talk about that. But yeah, I mean, it's an exciting time if you're excited, you know, about VR. Lots of news. Obviously, a lot of people have heard that the price point for the Sony VR isn't all that bad if you already have everything else. So if you have the camera and you have the Move controllers, then you're looking at a little bit over $400. If you don't have the camera and you don't have the Move controllers, you're looking at like six.
Yeah.
Obviously, Oculus came out today as we are recording this. Oculus is now, if you pre-order the Oculus, you can get the Oculus Rift, which is cool. And then, of course, we have the Samsung on the horizon as well. The
HTC as well.
Out, isn't it?
Is the Samsung out? I don't even know.
Oh, I'm pretty sure Samsung's out, yeah.
And then there's Gear, the HTC that's coming as well.
Yeah, the HTC.
The Valve,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. Like, I hadn't gotten a chance to try the Oculus really until today. We got a kit at work. And it worked better than I was really expecting. I, you know, joking around about Dactyl Nightmare, I had not tried VR since Dactyl Nightmare. Mm-hmm.
Did you have to pay $20 to play the Rift for 5 minutes? Because that's how it worked at the mall.
Yeah, no, it wasn't quite that bad. I did mess around with it for a while today, and I got to try out all the, you know, the onboard demos, which were really cool. I walked around a virtual submarine. I'm terrified of heights in real life. And there was one demo where you're just basically standing on like this really tall building, looking down onto the city with all this crap on the ground. You know, it worked very, very well. The head tracking worked well. And visually, like, you know, it tricked my mind into thinking I was there, which is, I think, what the experience is supposed to be. Now, I didn't really play much because, you know, the demos that we had there weren't really like you're playing. It was more like you're experiencing this environment.
Yes. I see the word experiences thrown around a lot when we're talking about things that are coming out.
Yeah, I would venture to say there's only really, I mean, it launched with a lot of games. I want to say over 30. But, you know, only a handful are like real games. Like Eve Valkyrie is like a real game,
mm-hmm.
you know, designed with VR in mind. But, you know, I liked it more than I thought I would. I can understand why people are super hyped. I think the barrier to entry right now is still insane. You have to have a PC with a really kicking graphics card, like at least a GTX 970. You need to have like, you know, 16 gigs of RAM at least, a pretty honking processor. And then that's just, you know, to get started, then you actually need the hardware itself. So you're looking at, you know, bare minimum, maybe $1,600.
Yeah. I mean, it's a first gen product. It's definitely for enthusiasts because of the price point, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
And you have to sort of deal with the fact that there's going to be a limited number of things that you can do with it for now. And then, you know, next year there will be, or in a couple of years, there will be a better version of it, but that's kind of how it works. Right.
Right.
It's weird. It's for me, it's like the first thing that like the VR thing, I'm honestly not intrinsically motivated to do anything with at this time. And I think that part of it is because, you know, to me, I see a piece of hardware, but when there start to be experiences or games or whatever you want to call them, that are just like physically not possible or practical on a traditional, you know, controller and TV setup, then I'll kind of, I think that's what's going to pull me over. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know how you guys feel about stuff like that.
There's an Ubisoft title that's in the works. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's called Eagle Flight.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks, you know, super polished, like typical Ubisoft stuff, but it is honestly just a Eagle Flight simulator for VR.
That's cool. Is it like related to Assassin's Creed by any chance?
It actually looks,
because it probably should be.
It looks like, it honestly looks like it could take place in the Assassin's Creed universe. But the version or the demo that I saw for that.
Wait, are you the eagle that drops the feathers everywhere?
You might be. It's probably all like be tied together.
Wouldn't that be interesting if instead of you going to collect like 300 things that are in every Ubisoft open world game, you're actually just dropping them.
You're required
to go drop 100 feathers before you can get out of the level.
Yeah.
But if you are interested in like seeing what is coming for VR, I definitely say check that out. It looks neat. Like you're just ripping around as an eagle and it's multiplayer. So there's like lots of eagles flying around together, you know, flying through buildings and, you know, underneath bridges and stuff. And I'm like, wow, like that, you know, can actually simulate the feeling of flight a little bit.
I mean,
so that was pretty cool.
I just want, I want Pilot Wings 64.
Oh my God.
Or maybe the SNES Pilot Wings for,
shit my pants,
for Oculus. Yeah.
You know what's really weird? I played, that's not really like my jam in life, those kind of games, mm-hmm. but I played so much Pilot Wings 64.
That's because it was a quality game.
It was really good.
It's pretty challenging.
Yeah, it was fantastically good. It's because there was like a bunch of different things you could do. The unlockables were like sensible. It was a game, you know, the progression of the game is right.
Yeah.
Nowadays, if a game like that came out, it would be like 4 activities and then 3 more planned as season pass content.
Yeah.
And then there'd be skins for like the gold jetpack and you'd be like, all right, we got it. You know, we got it.
That is true.
Yeah. And so like this conversation sort of spins into another conversation, which is that there are rumors that, or maybe not even rumors at this point, but Sony is going to come out with some new hardware that is believed
4K.
To support 4K and 4K Blu-rays and, you know, likely provide better performance for things like the PlayStation headset. Does that have a name? It's not called Morpheus anymore.
Still Morpheus?
It's not Morpheus.
That was like the code name.
See, I think it's just called PlayStation VR.
The code name. That was the code name for the thing that was widely taken around and shown to people.
Right. I saw one. I held it in my hands.
I used one.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's right.
Talked about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and yeah, it's all those people who think I just hate VR for no reason. I used a VR machine.
Yeah.
I sound like a grandpa yet?
I used a VR machine.
We're trying not to. But
how much do you think Sony's going to flub the name and call it like PlayStation 4 Next or something instead of just calling it the 4K?
Oh my God, the name of this thing is so much speculation.
Is it out yet? Oh no,
I don't think so. But it's like they've been calling it like 4.5 and PlayStation 4K, and
you should just call it the 4K. Like if it's coming out to support 4K mostly, which is 90% of what it's trying to do, just call it the 4K.
Yeah, for sure. It that naming convention alone is just so slightly different that it's going to lead to so many like eBay shenanigans, you know, and Craigslist. Sure. But anyways, I wanted to bring this up just because, you know, Xbox had a similar announcement,
right?
Or there was a comment that sort of alluded to the fact
he
that
had
there
like
could
an offhanded comment about it.
Offhanded comment about like upgradable hardware and things like that. Yeah. And you know, to me, part of this is interesting because it all goes back to the original E3 where they announced all these new consoles in the first place, right? And everybody flipped out because it was like $100 for a Kinect, you know. And now it's they're basically saying like, hey, why don't you spend like another $400 for a headset and buy these controllers and this camera that you didn't want before and, you know, potentially a new hardware setup entirely.
I mean, they're very good at marketing. They did a good job marketing the original PlayStation 4 and like we said with Xbox, have like marketing the fact that, oh, you know, it doesn't need network. It doesn't require network. And it's like, yes, it does. Like,
yeah.
It requires a network to be a valid machine doing anything that you want it to do.
You ever want to patch it?
It's just sort of an example that like the loudest voice in the room is not always the one that you should be listening to, you know?
Right. A lot of this, can I go off on a tangent?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Is everybody okay with that?
That's why we're here.
Like watching the Steve Jobs movie, a lot of this stuff that's been rolling out between VR and the Xbox rollouts and the new Sony machine and stuff has made me think about Steve Jobs and even Apple's stuff that they've rolled out updates recently. I don't know if you guys know this, but the phone update and the Apple TV update and a couple other like broke a bunch of stuff that they've been trying to patch and fix and no one's knowing what's going on yet. And it's just a couple flubbed releases on their part and the confused announcements, like they shrank the iPad and they shrank the iPhone. So now there's even more, you know, like...
Oh, I'm completely confused about what their product lineup is anymore for iPads and stuff.
All this stuff has just made me think about, after watching the movie, like what Steve Jobs was really good at. And like he was really good at focus, at like... borderline perfection, and if not perfection, like making sure that you thought it was perfect when he talked about it or marketed it, you know?
Yeah.
And it just makes me think that like everybody thinks they're Steve Jobs, but it really time is proving that very few people are Steve Jobs, you know? Like this stuff's confusing that's coming out because it's just like, what are you launching now? Didn't you just launch the Xbox and you just launched the PlayStation? Wait, now I need the camera, the eye, and like it's just it's weird to see all this stuff just get kind of flood into the market and then let the market somehow figure it out, I guess, at the end of the day.
Man, like at one time they were like giving away those wands for the PlayStation because nobody wanted them. It was like it was like a Wii knockoff is what it was sort of viewed as. Yeah.
So it's just interesting to me to see this stuff kind of roll out now and just kind of think about like, well, what if like, you know, what if early 2000s in his prime Steve Jobs was running like PlayStation? Like how would this go differently? And like how would this have been perfect and done right? And, you know, what would have changed? And I think there'd just be a lot different if all these companies had that level of focus, you know, although probably. I guess all companies can't be like $800 billion in liquid cash or whatever Apple's. Now, but
do you think you know, if he was a part of the game industry, do you think he'd be wearing a sport coat with the turtleneck, or would he just?
I don't think so. He'd just roll out however he wanted to roll
out. Stick with the jeans and turtleneck and skip the sport coat. Yeah,
I mean it's a thing. Like we all make fun of the fact that Apple does. You know, like what is it? There's new ones that Ryan and I were joking about. It was like a Retina flash, like which is literally just the screen of the phone flashing full white. In full brightness when you take like a selfie.
Yeah.
But they give it like marketing speak as a term. And like I hate it and I see through it now, but for a while like that was what Apple did. They marketed everything down to like the term that you were going to use to call it something. And right when it came out, everybody like you and me, even when we weren't like Apple users regularly, would be like, "Oh, that's so stupid. Who's going to call it an iPad?" And now like that's the term everyone calls every tablet ever created anywhere.
It's like Band-Aid.
Yeah, it's crazy how good they were at that. So to watch these other companies do stuff, sometimes I just wonder. It just makes me think about like what would happen if they were more focused? Like what would happen if these guys thought more about end consumer and then basically just said, "I don't care what you guys are yelling about. I'm right and I know I'm right." Cuz that's like when he pulled the CD-ROM out of the MacBook. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, what the fuck? How am I going to load anything onto my laptop anymore? And he's like, you don't need it. We're never going to use this again. Everything's going to be on the internet. And everybody's like, no, I need a CD-ROM drive or a DVD drive. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you're not going to ever need it. And now, like, I couldn't even imagine having one in my computer. It would be obnoxious to have one of those.
You can also buy an external one for like $10. Needed something.
It's just amazing to see the difference in like how Steve Jobs and Apple handled, you know, people yelling back at them and the singular kind of focus versus you look at a Sony or an Xbox and when people start yelling, they immediately backtrack and just go like, well, whatever the customer's yelling about, I need to make $1 billion, you know.
Sure. It's so true.
Really interesting.
It's so true.
It's just a weird tangent thought, guys. That's all it was.
No,
it was
absolutely.
Good. It was a good one.
Yeah. Ash, thoughts on the new hardware refreshes? I honestly think both will have new consoles by the end of the year.
I mean, my big, you're probably right, but my big fear is that they're already saying there's stuff beyond 4K. So it's like, well, is this cycle just going to keep continuing? And I mean, I guess the main thought that a lot of people are having is that the whole reason why Sony is, you know, going to make the PlayStation 4K is because it'll better support VR.
Oh,
and
sure.
And they're hoping, well, you know, and the PlayStation VR did sell out within an hour, you know, within an hour, like the pre-orders were over.
Man, that's incredible.
So, you know, it's funny because other journalists around the time of GDC were saying that articles about VR don't get clicks. And so they're basically like, you know, they're just empty voids that no one ever clicks on because VR is uninteresting to the general public is what the sentiment was. And I won't say which outlet said that.
Sure.
But, you know, a lot of people are afraid of VR because they're afraid of the same thing that happened with motion control happening again. So they're going to, you know, they're like, oh man, what if it's, you know, what if it's another motion controller? What if it's another, you know, Mad Catz, you know, controller situation where in 5 years, everyone's throwing them out.
Oh. But they're not, I don't think they're wrong necessarily. Like for one, it's like Scott said, this is first gen, right? For two, it's just, it's not going to be a mass consumer product yet. Like it's just not, it's not angled to be that. I'm not surprised Sony sold out because they are the louder majority gamers, I think. You know, like that console managed to draw that core group that they wanted.
We also don't know how many they made.
We don't know how many they made, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm sure it was more than 1,000 or something, but like,
right.
But like, even selling out, like, doesn't shock me on that platform. Like, it doesn't. It's not surprising, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and the issue right now is there are some actual games, but still, it's you're not going to get a lasting, long gaming experience on any of the VR headsets now. You're not going to get a Witcher. You're not going to get a Mass Effect. You're getting like basically, you know, concepts for games. Now, granted, I haven't played Adrift, but I hear Adrift is really good. But you know, and I haven't played Eve Valkyrie, but I hear that, you know, they're kind of limited experiences. So I don't know. I mean, I think
they both sound interesting and fun. I'm not like discounting the quality of what's coming out on the thing. I'm just saying that it's not, this is not like two interesting, fun games or experiences does not a marketplace make, you
right.
know, like
yeah,
that's just a thing for, like Scott said, people who are early adopters of stuff to jump in and go like, this is awesome. Here's the and like put it on their friend and go play Adrift. This game's amazing. And it probably is. But whether that's enough to make, I mean, like thousands upon thousands of people adopt this thing, I think it's just unlikely to me. It seems unlikely.
Mm-hmm. I think so what I think it's really going to take is to build something that you really can't do anywhere else, you know, because if you were interested in Adrift and you couldn't afford the Rift, you could still get Adrift on Steam or whatever, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And then play it that way. But it's like when somebody creates something, you could make the argument like, oh, I could play Wii Sports with a controller, but it's not the same game. Right.
Right.
Like you like having the Wii remotes and doing that kind of thing. Like that's what made that game special because you experience it in a certain way. So, you know, with a game like Adrift, like, you get the experience of floating through a space station and maybe you don't get that same experience on Steam, but that idea can be pushed further into things that are just like not even possible.
Right.
You know, but you know, again, and currently you're still kind of limited in the sense that you still have traditional controllers. So I don't know if it's going to require a new way to interact with the game.
Sure.
Because we're still telling people, like, hold this Xbox controller or hold these two little paddles that have buttons on them. So,
right.
It ends up being similar.
We're probably years out, right? I mean, this mm-hmm. is going to take iterations. It's going to take Oculus 2 and 3 before it's becoming a commonplace thing that you start seeing, and it gets cheaper and it's easier to run on older machines. And like, that kind of stuff is just going to take time. And I'm glad everybody's excited, and I think it's an interesting concept. It's just still, to me, just that. It's a concept. It's like, conceptually, this is a thing we could do a lot with. Mm-hmm. But in reality, there's just not a lot we can do yet, I guess is the way I feel at the end of the day. So.
Yeah. Other than shooting pterodactyls.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Where else can you shoot pterodactyls?
Nowhere.
Like, right.
Just, very true.
Just in a 1990s, like, Lawnmower Man style combat environment is really the only place I can think of.
And like, I also, to temper my anger, I also realized that, you know, like 10 years ago, you might have said, like, and I probably did, I probably remember myself saying this, like, no one's going to look at the internet on their, you know, telephone. Like, mm-hmm. because it just seemed impossible at the time, and it takes somebody putting a thing out, you know, that changes that.
Just as a final thought, I'm personally more interested in augmented reality, and I think that if you
get me started,
I know
we all are. So this is a whole rant we can all go on.
Well, the point I was going to make briefly was that, you know, the early writing on the wall seems to suggest that a lot of the processing power for the HoloLens is built into the headset itself. So if you look at it from that perspective, there's a pretty good chance that you may not need to do a lot of upgrading to the Xbox One hardware if that's what you will ultimately use that with, if there's a way to tie those two things together. So,
but we also know that that might mean the opening price point of the HoloLens is equal to or a lot more than what you're going to pay for your Xbox. So
yeah, that's very true. I feel like there will be fewer... I feel like it'll be a cleaner solution than what I've seen like packed in the box for like a VR headset currently.
I also find it interesting just because of we've talked about, I mean, at least I've talked about probably 100 times on this podcast, the idea that HoloLens is not asking me to unplug from the rest of my surroundings and mm-hmm. just be in this singular world where I can't interact with anyone else. I have no idea what else is going on. Whereas, you know, Oculus, short of having some sort of like notification system that gets built into it to let me know if somebody's trying to get a hold of me, like, is asking me that, you know? So it'll be interesting to see that sort of difference of like, oh, well, now I'm just in my living room in a changed, you know, version of my living room interacting with this new reality that I'm dealing with. So I don't know. We'll see. I think augmented reality is very interesting as well. So.
We should have a nice discussion on HoloLens pretty soon. Not now, because this will go on for 10 hours.
Would you say that we need to talk?
Sure. No.
No.
We're already currently talking.
No, I think
saying the we need to talk episode.
Oh, like a we need to talk episode.
Ash needs a nap. It's okay. He's tired.
You remember we had this little spinoff podcast called We Need to Talk?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah,
it's been like 4 years.
Yeah, we haven't done it in a while.
We did one 2.5 years ago.
Yeah. But we can do another. We can do, I think it's episode 3 of We Need to Talk.
All right, let's do it.
So we'll do that. Last thing I briefly wanted to talk about was, how do you guys feel about Instagram reordering your feed based on what it thinks you want to see?
I don't really care about this. I've been seeing the internet kind of explode about this today, and I'm just kind of like, I'm not going to really
do like this. My Instagrams, click follow on my Instagram account so that you can see notifications when my pictures are showing up.
I don't understand.
Yeah. They call that thirsty, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Well, I get it. People, you know, got upset when this happened with Twitter. Did it ever really happen with Twitter? Because I didn't notice.
They kind of do like a while you were away, and they show you some tweets from like people that you interact with, I think.
And I'm a professional tweeter, and I didn't notice.
Like, well, I don't care.
You're never away.
Yeah. He's always on Twitter.
That's actually pretty true.
Factually correct.
That's the secret. He's always on Twitter. I don't really care, only in the sense
that... Was that a Hulk reference?
Yeah, as I said, it's like...
That was really good.
Thanks. I don't really care. It's just that, like...
That was the funniest thing you've ever said. Oh, in 5.5 years.
You've known me a lot longer than five
of this show. Of the show. That reference, that Hulk reference, the subtle, the very subtle.
I'm a super subtle guy.
It was really good.
Oh, Jesus Christ,
man.
Good Lord.
Derailed.
Sorry.
So, I don't really care other than the actual like fact that that is my least favorite part of Facebook. So, I'm not going to get pissed about them reordering my photos that I look at, but mm-hmm. I kind of hate that I don't get a timeline on Facebook. It annoys me because I see shit like I'll go to Facebook and I'll see, you know, Ash is like, look at my butt. And then like I'll refresh it like an hour later and it's still Ash's post sitting at the top because like, you know, my sister-in-law commented on it. And then I'm like, oh, great, cool. Like, and I'll scroll down, and then, like, an hour later, it's still the top post because, like, Scott liked it or something, you know? Like, the algorithms they throw to, like, figure out the order of stuff, I don't feel like reflects how I view things. So, like, mm-hmm. Twitter makes more sense to me because I can just go through a timeline, and Instagram makes sense to me because I can go through a timeline.
Yes.
So, like, that's the part of it that upsets me, but as to whether it'll make me stop using Instagram, probably unlikely. I'll probably just adapt to that new reality of the timeline and move on with life.
So, you know? I mean, I can't tell you how many times I see a promoted tweet in my Instagram feed and I'm just like, nope. Like, you missed the mark.
I close them all. Like, Instagram, when they give me shit that I don't care about, I mark it and say, stop giving me this.
Yeah, it's like, you could not be more wrong. It's not working. Yeah. But thanks for talking me through that. Do you want to do like a full house hug now that we've talked?
Sure.
Talked out.
What's
our
a full house hug?
Yeah, what is that?
Well, on every episode of Full House, they have like a heart-to-heart conversation and then they have a hug.
Hey, Scott, yeah. Cut it out.
Cut it out.
Hey.
You want to talk about The Division?
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it so much.
I love it too. I have a love-hate relationship with it.
Yes, please tell me.
I'll tell you about the things I love. Visually, it's one of the most gratifying things to stare at on my
TV.
Wait,
I'm going to write down what you guys hate and then read it at the end of the podcast.
Okay.
Right. Let's do it. No, but I love how it looks. It's absolutely incredible walking through the city and checking out all the buildings and all the debris and finding the the cell phone messages and discovery is really fun. I like that a lot. I think the cover mechanic is awesome. I think they did a good job with the shooting. I think the modification of the weapons is great. I think the main story missions, which I think there are 22 story missions. I'm not obviously all the way through yet. I'm about maybe halfway at this point, I guess.
Yeah.
I think they've been a lot of fun. And there's a lot of things I don't like, too.
Have you been into the Dark Zone yet?
Only during the beta.
Yeah, okay.
From what I understand, not much has changed. But we played through that beta, like, basically, you know, to the beta level cap twice and did a lot of Dark Zone.
Yeah, too, I played it three times. I was in the alpha.
Oh, you're in the alpha.
Yeah, so
right.
I've seen it many times.
Yeah. So has it changed, in your opinion, from alpha to beta to release?
Well, the only thing I really noticed as far as the changes go were in the Dark Zone, and I think they were just sort of trying things and getting people to, you know, to do things that would allow them to collect data to balance the game with.
Yeah.
But I'm in the same boat as you. I do enjoy the game. I enjoy looking around at things. I enjoy leveling up and playing with the different abilities. I think the abilities, while they appear to be downplayed sort of in the quote-unquote competitive community, I think that's one of the more interesting aspects of the game, is that you can build out a couple of abilities that complement your playstyle, and I think that's really, really interesting for a game like this, and the way that, you know, it's not to the extent that Borderlands is, but I think it adds the variety to the game that would otherwise make it pretty bland. And like you said, the scenery is interesting. It's really amazing that you can go through a lot of the game with very little loading.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's brilliant, the fact that it's, you know, all the loading screens are hidden behind walking slowly.
Yes.
But I still think it's you know, a testament. I mean, that's really, really hard to do, and they're pulling it off.
I've also journeyed into the Dark Zone because I was, you know, because I had more time to play, so I've kind of been ahead of you guys for a while in the game. So I've spent some time.
Shocker.
Yeah. I've spent some time in the Dark Zone. And I really am having a lot of fun with the game. Like, I thought that I would be frustrated by, you know, groups of people just running around killing wildly, but it's really not like that. I feel like what I get a sense of is that they are actually looking at what you're doing and sort of balancing the Dark Zone in that way. So I feel like
right.
In the times where I've been mostly by myself, I find that I'm mostly battling other people that are by themselves or just the AI in the game. And
so, I can see that.
I don't know if that's actually true, but that's the hunch I get. So,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot to like in the game. What do you think, Matt?
You guys haven't said what you don't like yet. This is amazing.
I thought you were waiting for us. I thought you were writing it all down. And
No. I just took a note. I wrote down, you guys want too much.
Oh, okay. Well, I can tell you what I don't like.
It. I think that it's truly unique in a lot of ways, but done in the same way. I love this game in the same way that I loved Shadows of Mordor, where I feel like they took a bunch of existing systems, figured out how to mash them up in a really playable way, and then made the game fun and like just fun to run around and play. I actually like this a hair better than Borderlands.
Oh, wow.
Because it's not class-based. Because, like Scott, you were pointing out, it's class-based on the fly. So
yes.
If I show up and play solo for a while, I can actually class myself out to be able to play solo without like just getting utterly destroyed no matter where I go.
That's a good point.
And that, to me, is like that's really important because it actually did the thing that I said I wanted the most out of this game when we first started playing, which was I want to be able to get in this game and play with you guys and have a blast whenever we get together and play.
Right.
But I also like I know what our timelines are like, and I won't play this game if it requires co-op. Like I need to be able to play solo. I need to be able to have fun playing solo and not feel like I'm just like endlessly grinding like in Destiny or something.
Mm.
And I don't know if that's the way you guys are feeling, if that's what you don't like, but I don't feel like it's super grindy. I also don't care that much, though.
Right.
So yeah. I kind of don't need to get every weapon ever created. I don't need to power up everything to full power. I don't need to find every little thing everywhere in the game. Like to me, and I'm not saying that's what you guys want. It's just that's just not – I just don't care. I just want to be able to open the game up and play for an hour and have fun playing, whether it's with you guys or by myself or whatever it might be. I also haven't gone back to the Dark Zone. I don't know if it's the same reason as Ash. Like I felt like I played a lot of the Dark Zone when we did the beta, so I'm kind of like happy going around and picking up cell phones and hearing different snippets of story and catching little Easter eggs and stuff here and there that they poke fun at other stuff. And like I think they did a really good job, and above all, it really felt like this game was made by people who just enjoyed making this game and like had fun and made something that would be fun for other people. So I don't know, I have very little complaints. I think it's buggy at times, but yeah, I don't give a shit.
I think considering what it pulled off, I don't think it's I think it's super. I think
the bugs are rarely like egregious, and most of the times it's like a restart or something, and you're fine. I think that. I think that I could see, and maybe I'm trying to guess now what you guys don't like. I could see there are certain like power players feeling like there's a lack of variety at times because you have like, I think 10 guns total. Now you can mod the living shit out of them, but the mods don't, they don't make the gun feels, they can, but not in general. Most of the mods don't feel like the gun drastically changes in any sort of way. In the same way in the equipment. But the weird thing is, like Scott pointed out, I think, when we were playing the other day, you can actually hack your equipment like crazy. Like you can really pay attention to your stats and what you're bumping and what you're dropping and be like a specific kind of player just by modding your equipment and changing what equipment you're using.
Right.
Which I think is interesting. I don't know. So have at it, guys. I really have like borderline, not no complaints, but like very few.
Well, I mean, I think it's just the only kind of complaints are because it just depends on what you like in games. Like, so for me, my complaints are, I don't want to, I'm the same as you, Matt, in the respect that I don't give a shit about my gear anymore in games.
Right.
Like I want to feel powerful. I want to have fun, but I'm not going to be one of those people that spends, you know, 75 hours in the Dark Zone, getting all orange guns and tweaking them out with all orange mods.
Right.
Because who am I competing with? What does it matter? Like I'm going to run around with you guys. And I want to be on the same level as you guys, but once that happens, then you know I'm not going to be PvPing in the Dark Zone.
Yeah,
because
no way.
What's the point of that? So that doesn't matter to me. And I know that's a lot of what the end game is for this game, but I'm not there yet. My complaints at this time is there's a lot of what I feel is kind of repetition in enemy types, and I don't get the sense of like excitement when I fight a boss or a big enemy that I got in other games that are similar.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So like there are moments in Borderlands where you fight like, battleships and, just crazy unique bosses that are just filled with personality. And in this, like you'll fight a guy with a boss with a flamethrower that just has 75,000 hit points and takes, you know, 5 magazines to kill and doesn't really do anything special. And also, you know, right now I'm like, I think I'm level 16 and I just haven't seen, you know, I've fought at this point, I think 3, maybe 4 different gangs.
Yeah, there's 3 I think we faced, right? Like the basic gang you start out with, the cleaners were and really the Rikers.
And the Rikers, right. Mm-hmm. And that's where I am now. And there's, you know, there's unique gang members in those gangs.
Mm-hmm.
But after I've killed my, you know, my 100th Riker, it's like, okay, well, I've fought all the different Rikers and the firefights are fun and all. But there's something to be said for facing off against an incredibly challenging enemy that has a unique way to fight against it.
Sure.
You know? So I kind of miss that in the Division. Also, the gear stuff I was saying earlier, gear doesn't really matter all that much to me, but I do like visual variety. And I kind of feel like everybody just kind of looks like they're about to go snowboarding.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
all the, like everybody, like you see level 30 players and they're like, what's up, bro? You want to like, you know, shred the gnar? Woo! And
shred the gnar.
Yeah. And that kind of bugs me because I would love to see, you know, some really cool load bearing vests and
sure.
cool helmets and like, you know, just cool robot suits and shit. You know, I know that
it does seem though, it somewhat seems like some of that is hidden behind paywalls.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know if frustrating is the right word. It's, or even disappointing. It's just like, oh, okay. Cause I've seen like, even you bought,
I bought a pack
of camo stuff, which immediately made you look different than everybody else. Like you immediately, I was like, oh, what the heck? And then you were like switching out camo suits. And I was like, oh, okay. You've got like 5 random camo suits.
Yes. And I so paid I could $5 see for that.
Yeah, I know. I could see them adding stuff in that way of like different variety or like calls to other things. But at the same time, it is sort of like the tone of the, although I don't know, cause I guess Dead Space had like Mass Effect armor and its stuff, right?
Yeah.
Oh my god. That was
so cool. they could do different stuff. The tone of the game doesn't, I think, lend itself to having like goofy armor sets.
No.
But they could. Yeah. I mean, nothing's stopping them from adding that in. It just, I feel like it's going to get added as DLC. Right. So.
Right. In terms of like other complaints, because
I killed a lot of Alexes. I don't know about you.
Yeah, guys. A lot of Alexes.
A lot of Alexes are dead.
Yeah. There's a lot of that.
I read a review that said basically that it looks like the developers spent like all this time on creating the NPCs and like your character. And then like at the last minute, they're like, oh, we need to do enemies too. And then just like put in like 7 different types of enemy models. And they were like, okay, we're done. It's like,
and that's what I mean. There's like, there's no drones. There's no like weird, like attack dogs. There's no guys in like bulldozers. You know what I mean? Like
they could have put some cleaners on a garbage truck that you had to fight or something, you know?
Yeah. It's weird. And like, that's my, I like love looking at the world. But the other day I like ran around just collecting cell phones for like experience. And I'm like, I kind of feel like I'm on a soundstage because like nothing's fucking going on here.
Yeah, it's very dead.
It's like very, and that's the whole plot of the game, that everything's dead. But I'm like looking around and I'm like, there's literally nothing for me to do. Like,
it's weird to me because they pulled off the New York map like almost perfectly. It's crazy how well it gets weird on the streets. So because like they group streets to get, like that doesn't happen in New York. You don't skip streets. Like it'll be like 49th and the next street you hit is 52nd. And why they made that decision, I'm not really sure, but I guess so they don't have to like block by block it.
Can be a scale.
But at the same time, like the building that they put between 49th and 52nd is my office. Like they it's weird to me. Like I'm walking around New York going like, they've like friggin' nailed New York. When you start in Brooklyn and you're in Dumbo, it is like building for building borderline perfect of
that's awesome.
What Dumbo looks like it's weird how well they did it, which I guess removes me from the soundstage you feel a little, because I'm just like walking around like, good lord, who spent the time to map out New York and then be like, all right, well, let's build all these maps out and then like perfectly do it road to road. It's crazy to me, so I don't know.
No, that's definitely cool. I don't know what makes it feel that way to me.
Yeah.
I think it was just because I was, you know, running around a lot doing side stuff and it just felt very kind of nebulous and
empty. It's sort of like Batman Dark Knight Rises, right? Like where they're like, it's Christmas, so everyone's inside. That's why no one's out. And you're like, what? They're like, yeah, just let it go. Everybody's inside because it's Christmas. So Batman just runs around and fights these guys for no reason. You know, like they're kind of like trying to remove that real world feel because it's basically the same 4 NPCs that walk by you sick or are part of the JFT or whatever it is.
Yeah. GTF.
JTF. Yeah. I totally get that as a complaint. That makes sense. I mean, that's logical. I guess I've played about as much as you. It hasn't hit me yet. The samey sames. A little bit of the enemy type, I think so. I think the only thing that I was thinking in my head was, because I didn't realize it until we hit the Riker's crew, that they were so separated from each other.
That there were actually different factions in the game?
Yeah, that there were not. Well, I mean, we knew the cleaners were there, so I knew there was like different factions, but I didn't know that they were literally like area separated.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You start out in the area where it's just like guys in hoodies, and then which is weird, and then you go to the second area, and it's just cleaners, and then the third area is just Rikers, kind of, and they cross over once in a while and they fight each other, which is honestly, I don't know about you guys, that's when it gets the most interesting to me, is when you run into a gunfight where two different enemies are currently fighting each other, and like the JTF's there too, and you're like, what is going on? You're like trying to handle it all of a sudden to figure out how to get through it or whatever.
Yeah, but it is fun.
Yeah, I don't know. I could see that. I could see the sameness getting to you.
Mm-hmm. But playing with you guys is like fucking awesome because we play on hard and it's hard.
Oh, yeah.
And we get our asses kicked and we have to be strategic.
But that's what makes it fun.
I die a lot. I love it. I mean, that to me is like, you know, it is a great, great multiplayer game. I wish there was a little bit more of a coherent narrative, maybe with some, you know, some memorable NPCs and stuff.
Yeah, but I feel like I'm just watching an episode of Blindspot or something. It's like, we're the FBI. You're like, okay, whatever. Like, let's just do this.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on. And at this point, because we play in 2-hour bursts every 3 or 4 days, you know, I have no fucking clue.
Yeah.
Like, who anybody is. Like, I don't know the name of the doctor. I don't know anything.
Like, well, plus you can like jump in. There's no linear story. Like, you can kind of go to any mission you feel like going to. Like, there's linear missions for different types. Like, one medical mission will open up another medical mission, but like, you don't then have to do them in order. They're just kind of like spread out wherever. So there is no, it doesn't feel like there's a specific narrative other than, you know, you got to save New York. It really feels like, and I know I've said this 1,000 times while we're playing, because they're the best enemy type in the world, it really feels like they could have done a lot more story-wise with the cleaners, because they are like diametrically opposed to what you are doing, you know? And you're like, oh, that could have been a really interesting like arc of some sort, but it's like the third mission you can play where you basically beat the cleaners. And you're like, oh, so that was the guy, huh?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All right, cool. Guess we're good here. See you later.
Very true. Yeah.
So nitpicking stuff, and I know a lot of fans of The Division will probably be upset with us.
Well, we do like the game.
I love the game. Like, that's great. I think it's amazing, yeah.
I have one main gripe that I feel, you know, I'm on board with you guys where it's like the most fun I have playing the game is when I'm playing with you guys or even in the Dark Zone playing with random people, because it's interesting to study their behavior when it's not just like you can just shoot me, you know, like willy-nilly. It's not deathmatch. So the relationships are strained, you know, in terms of what you choose to do, and that creates a lot of interesting situations where, like, you know, I extract a lot of gear just by showing up late to a firefight and like everyone has already died or run away, and then there's just loot laying everywhere and you put it on the helicopter and you're like, all right, well, I'm going on break. But as far as the gear goes, I thought it was an interesting design decision to like scale the color of the gear with your level. Like, it's weird that at level 4, you can't find like a purple level 4 gun that is great at level 4, you know?
Oh, I didn't know you couldn't.
Well, I haven't seen one. Basically, it's like you start the game with grays and then, you know, between 5 and 10, you get some greens. And then from, 8 to whatever, 15 or 16, you get blues, and then all of a sudden you start getting purples, and it's like, why isn't there, you know, like, there should be a really great named weapon that you can pick up at level 5 that maybe is great until level 8, and then it's like, then it goes away and you could put it in your stash and it's like, cool, I found this awesome weapon, but it doesn't exist. It's like everything is like either you have to unlock it with a blueprint late in the game or find it in the Dark Zone or kill somebody to get it or whatever. And I just think that's
there's not really named weapons, are there?
The gold ones are, I believe.
Oh, the gold ones are.
Yeah, right. But that's the problem, right? Is that like I'm picking up all this gear and there's never a point in the game where I pick up a piece of gear and I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm just like I'm just constantly upgrading. I just feel like I'm trading in stuff to get the next thing. And it's like, it's not super exciting as far as like doing that.
I guess
like,
the, I guess that's sort of what I was, that was like my point with the gear, was that I don't really care about it. And maybe it's by design, like you're saying. Like, I wasn't thinking about it that way, but maybe their whole point is like, oh, well, you're early level, just fucking recycle gear so you try it all out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I don't care either, but I'm also not excited to get new gear. And I feel like there was a missed opportunity to be excited about finding something, you know, because that was sort of like what the whole original trailer for the game was based off of. Remember, like, this crew of like four people who talk in a way that no one talks when they play games. Like, they enter a building and they're like, cool, oh man, I found this awesome machine gun, all right, let's try to extract it. And they run outside and there's a fight and everything, and it's like, I want to be excited about finding gear, and I don't want to have to wait until level 30 to do that, you know.
Yeah, sure. In the end, I mean, you run into the same problem with every MMO ever, is like, the only thing that matters is the gear to overcome the next obstacle, or the gear at the end game.
Right, but that's where we're going to check out, right? Is that we're not in it to get to like best everybody in PvP. I just go there for fun.
Yeah.
And if I get something while I'm there, like, then that's great. But basically, I feel like once the story content is done, then that's probably just about it for us, unless we play. You can replay all the missions once you get to level 30 on like a challenging mode. It's like easy, hard, challenging. I could see us doing that because that part is fun, but
going through the old story missions. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what they would do to get us to like be like, let's go play PvP tonight, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe unlockables of some sort. They start, you know, everybody plays, gets a pack of something or
like
something.
It's fun for what it is, and we go in there, like, we would go in there if we're bored, but right now we're still trudging through the story content at a very slow pace, and I think that's probably what we're going to continue to do until we're done, you know.
Final consensus,
it's great,
it's awesome.
Friends. I mean, I literally tell everybody to buy it. Like, buy it on Xbox so we can play. Like,
yeah, it's great with friends.
Jump in, invite us, like, we're
don't expect to weep from the storytelling.
It's not a story game. It's not a narrative, is what.
But it's fun.
Say.
I like the base too. We didn't really talk about the base at all, but I like that concept.
Base is cool. Yeah.
Seeing parts of the base come to life and being able to sort of like interact with some of those, you know, some parts are more interactive than others. But I thought that was also a really cool idea to like help players go through the, you know, the cycle of upgrading and doing things in the game. I thought that was really interesting as well.
Yeah. I will also say, I said it in Slack, but everybody should look for it. There is a Shaun of the Dead Easter egg that I ran across that is really fun.
What is it? Is it a phone message?
It's super minor. It's an Echo.
Okay, I'll go look for it.
You will hit an Echo that is a Shaun of the Dead Easter egg.
And nice. It's fun. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about some Daredevil without spoiling it.
Cool. Well, you've watched most.
Spoil it. Yeah, you can.
I watched all of it. Final thoughts. I liked it more than season one for a variety of reasons. Reason number one, he's in his costume for the whole season. And he's
there
Daredevil.
It's like that. It's weird to me.
It's weird to me too. No, he was in like black pajamas for the whole first season.
I know. Yeah. And like Ryan, like people that I like would not expect this from are like, I like the black pajamas better. I'd rather just be in that. And I'm like, really? What? Like, Daredevil is what Daredevil is. Like, what were you signing on for? Yeah. I'm so confused.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, he's in his costume the whole time. His costume actually grows and changes over the course of season two, which is really cool, as does his equipment. And so you
I
get
think
to
some
see
of that. What is it? Man Begins, like fixing the costume as time goes on. Like,
right. Yeah, it's really, really neat. So that's great. There's a lot of really great stuff with Karen Page and with Foggy Nelson this time around.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're fans of those characters, you know, I was on the fence with Foggy in season one. I thought he was like one of the weakest links.
Same.
Can you guys explain this to me? Because I loved Foggy and thought Foggy was great, and especially all three of them. I thought they were great together.
Yeah.
But Melissa today said that her coworkers, or yesterday when we were watching, said her coworkers actually didn't like Foggy. So what, like, we can do it quickly, but what was it about Foggy that turned you off? Because I thought he was fun and just like a really great character.
For
me, you? Is
no,
that what
I think it had more to do with like the way that the actor was delivering Foggy's lines and stuff in season one felt out of place. And he's a great actor. I just felt it felt tonally different. And I know he's supposed to be the comic relief, but it was tonally different than everything else in the show. So every time he talked in season one, it kind of took me out of it.
Okay.
Season two, he's fucking great.
Yeah,
like something clicked, and now he's absolutely incredible. So
cool.
I think for me it was like in the early episodes he was so much of a punching bag, you know, for Matt, and I was just like, who are you really gonna be this way the whole time? And I think what kind of turned me around on him was their backstory together.
Okay.
And I think around that time, like, it was easier to have an appreciation for their relationship. But you know, before that he was just kind of like,
okay. I mean, I get that. I was caught off guard by it. I was like, oh, people didn't like Foggy. Like, I was completely unaware that people didn't like Foggy, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Good. Sorry.
That's okay. Karen Page, also in season two, I would venture to say, I bet you somebody's already done this, but if you calculate her screen time in season two, I would say it's like right up there with Matt Murdock's. Like, she is in the show a lot in season two, and she has her own really big arc, and it's really good. Really different, and you end up, if you didn't like her character in season one for one reason or another, you thought maybe she was like too much of the victim, quote unquote, you'll very much like her in season two. It's really just interesting. They do some great stuff with the romantic relationship between her and Matt Murdock that I think works out really well. So really good if you like those characters. And then there's the other additions to season two. Yes. So I don't want to spoil anything, but obviously everyone knows Punisher's in it.
Yeah.
And
that's what I was talking about earlier. Like, I didn't know until they said his name.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Like, I don't
somebody
know.
Somebody else did. I had a friend say the same thing to me. They're like, I just wasn't expecting that to be him. I was like, oh, okay.
Like, I knew he was a somebody, but like my comic book knowledge is not extensive enough to know like which characters exist in the same universes.
Yeah.
So when he showed up, I was like, oh, he's definitely a guy. And they're like, they call him the Punisher. And I was like, oh, okay.
My friend was like, he didn't have the skull. And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, it'd be weird if he showed up in like a bodysuit with a skull on it right away. That'd be an odd thing to do.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I guess so. I was like, later in the Punisher comics, they dressed him down quite a bit. So
yeah, but it's all good. It's still fun. Like, I'm interested to see what happens with that.
Yeah.
So he's in it, and you've probably heard, if not seen, it's not really a spoiler, but Elektra is in season two, mm-hmm. and she has kind of her big arc, and you get to see a lot of the history between Elektra and Matt Murdock, who have a past history, and there's a lot of great stuff with the Chaste, who are all the people that have been trained by Stick, and the Hand. So you get a lot into that sort of mystical kung fu stuff that really wasn't in season one, which I think will eventually tie in really good with Iron Fist and the Defenders. But holy crap, guys, when it gets to the point in season two when the Hands show up and there's just like a ninja fight extreme, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
was the guy in season one, was he like a special Dick? Comic book character,
the blind guy,
like training guy?
No, not the training guy, but the guy that Matt fights at the end, towards the end of the series.
Oh,
with the blades and stuff.
Oh, the guy with the blades. Nobu, I want to say his name.
Yeah,
was.
Yeah, I think that's who it was.
I don't want to give anything away, but he is a significant person.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay,
in
fair enough.
Series.
That's all you need to say.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's freaking incredible. If you like this kind of stuff at all, they're doing this great job building up to the Defenders. I think the performances this time from all of the actors, John Bernthal and who's what's her name that plays Karen Page? Deborah Ann Woll. I think like they're really, to me, the standouts this season. They did just an unbelievable job. And eventually, you know, kind of like maybe spoilers. I don't know. They talk to each other. They have scenes together, and they're incredible. So, you know, I can't recommend it enough. Even if you didn't like season one, I know there's a lot of people out there that couldn't get through Daredevil season one for one reason or another.
Yeah.
I would say, go ahead and just start season two. There's stuff that from season one that's kind of important, but I think you can watch it on its own.
You can watch the we did this on accident.
It's a recap trailer.
If you just go to Daredevil and like let it start, they play a recap trailer at the beginning of, and it's all of season one recapped like entirely.
Cool. Which is super,
so it's like a
smart
5-minute recap trailer.
I feel like
you can
that's
just watch the whole thing.
Such a smart programming thing that they did on the part of Netflix, where it's like you start playing it and it plays the thing, and then there's a little thing on the screen. It's like, hey, if you want to skip this, just push this button. I was like, oh,
yeah,
that's cool. That's neat.
Smart.
Yeah.
So definitely recommend.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm only three episodes in, and I agree.
Cool.
This is Hannah Tull from Life is Strange, and you're listening to the Rated NA Podcast.
We are back with our question of the week for episode 227, and we asked you guys, what character, team, or IP do you wish would get the Netflix series treatment? Let us know.
Can you? Do you think people can feel the tension of the huge fight we just had right now?
It was probably not a fight at all.
Probably not. All I said is the Percy Jackson movies aren't terrible, and they got Medusas in them. And you guys called me names.
Oh my gosh.
Everything's better with Medusas, guys. So the first response was from Elizabeth, and she says, liberate those hot dads on Teen Wolf. Give them their own show so this oldie doesn't have to feel guilty about watching it. Never feel guilty about watching young hot werewolf dudes. Elizabeth.
She wants to watch the hot dads, though. There's a crew of older werewolves on the show wants to have their own storyline.
Now, that's just gross and dirty.
Well, there's like an older werewolf or two, and then there's like a hunter, and then like a mogwai, and then so I don't know. Like a lot of different things.
I'll watch this show.
You should watch it.
I'll never watch it. Our next response comes from Mr. Slick via the mailbag.
What?
Uh-oh. Hey. He says, how about an update to a friend style show about a group of friends, some childhood friends, some not, but they move apart and keep in touch. They create a podcast to talk about the things they like. Chat, text, and video calls are the norm for them and appear on screen. Watch their physically separate lives come together online. Instead of a dinner party they frequent, it could be a game and either played out like the guild style via webcams or go LARP style, but it's really in the game. Coming to Netflix soon, awesome nerds unite separately. Anus.
Wow.
Hashtag A-N-U-S.
Wow. Anus. Is that... Anus the series?
That's his TV show pitch.
Have you guys binged Anus yet?
I like this idea.
I've been binging Anus all week.
You would pitch it like, hey, it's like, you know, the guild but with friends, if the guild and the friends had a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm that guy from The Division. Hey, just turn the power on, okay?
I love that guy.
Yeah. So thanks, Robert. Thanks for that mailbag.
Thanks for the mailbag.
Next up, we have Mark at Kneezy Nay, and then like a winking face emoji, I believe is what his Twitter name is.
Oh, yeah, Kneezy Nay. Cool.
Monster Hunter International books by Monster Hunter would work so perfectly as a Netflix series.
Fan of Monster Hunter International.
Yeah.
Next one is Graham Pink, who's N7 Gray. Says, Mass Effect Trilogy, so many good characters, would love to see them in the series. I disagree.
You disagree?
Yeah. I don't want to see a Mass Effect Netflix series. I think it works great as a game.
Do you want to see a movie still?
Isn't there a movie being made?
I don't want to see it. I really don't.
Is it still happening?
You know,
I don't know. Probably not.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know what the pilot is for the Mass Effect TV show? It's the Citadel DLC, because that's basically what it was, you know?
Right, yeah.
It was like a 30-minute romp or whatever long it was.
I think if it has nothing to do with the trilogy and it's just something set in the Mass Effect universe, I think that would work.
Yeah.
But I think that the story of Shepard is so personal for everybody that played that game. Everybody, Shepard has a different tale, like who you romance, what you did first, you know, what characters you like. I don't think that would lend itself very well to a miniseries.
So set in the universe, I think it would work.
Yeah. Yeah. Do like a, you know, Vorcha sex romp.
Yeah, you remember the Vorchathongs, right?
Oh my god. That's
in the Wayback Machine.
It's been 4 years since we talked about Vorchathongs.
Vorchathongs, hashtag Vorchathongs.
I forgot how they talk. How do Vorchas talk, Scott?
I don't remember, but I know it's really scratchy. They almost sound like Insecticons, right?
Yeah, they kind of do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like that.
Yeah, Morthong. That was more like Beavis and Butthead.
Anyway.
Yeah, Darren Souter at Darren Souter says, I'd love to see Han Solo solo film done as a mini series rather than a film. Didn't they do a young Indiana Jones back in the day?
They did.
Yeah, was that successful?
No.
Well, maybe this would be, it would come down to casting, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Ash and I just said the same words at the same time three times. That was weird.
Yeah.
Alexi Staffer at Axe Staffer says, Firefly, or perhaps if that is out of the question, sob, I will accept Firefly the Next Generation.
Has anyone thought of this? The Next Generation? That seems like that could be a thing. Like a real thing.
I'm on board for that.
Yeah.
Couldn't they just like call it not Firefly? Couldn't they just call it something else and set it in that world and do it?
Fireflyer? Like, and then just there would be cameos from Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk and Bob Saget occasionally, and everybody would be happy.
Bob Saget?
That's what they do on Fuller House.
Oh boy. Hey Ash, do you have an answer to your own question?
I want to see X-Men.
Yeah.
I want to see like actual X-Men, like them as teenagers cartoon. Coming to the X-Mansion, like, you know, 16, 17 years old, like a realistic X-Men that actually kind of follows the comic books.
Do you want this as like a Marvel style, like a Daredevil style show?
Yeah, I want the Fox Bryan Singer X universe to not exist. And I want the X-Men to be reborn on Netflix as an ongoing series.
Awesome.
I will agree with you.
Yeah. How about you guys?
Well, I thought we spread them out, man.
Spread them out. All right. So Curious Quail, the band at Curious Quail on Twitter, says Neal Stephenson's Diamond Age, Robotech, maybe Danielowski's House of Leaves if it's done by David Lynch.
I've not read House of Leaves. I've heard it's very good.
I have not either.
Robotech would be cool, though.
Yeah. I'd be down for that.
Relive my high school aged anime fan. Not even high school, post high school. It'd be fun.
For sure. Ashley at Lil Feet 83 says The Punisher.
Sure.
Hell yeah. That'd be good.
I think lots more of punishing. Yeah, more comic book stuff would be appreciated, especially with Daredevil. Do you think that's actually gonna happen now that this, you know, given the success of Daredevil, do you think we'll see more Netflix series for these characters?
We already are. I mean, there wasn't going to be a Daredevil season 2, and then it blew up. I mean, as far as I know, they were planning one season off for each character and then doing a Defenders series, and then Daredevil did so well that they were like, well, let's just do season 2 of Daredevil.
Yep.
Like,
season 2 of Jessica Jones is getting made, too, for the same reason.
Yeah, awesome. So. Yeah. Ren Marie at Ren Marie 1 says, hey, why not some BioWare tunes? Varric?
I don't know if I'd like to see a Varric series. I think he's an amazing character, but I think he just fits so well again in that Dragon Age trilogy. Seeing him like, you know, Varric's heist. Yeah, I don't know. And who would play Varric? Hmm. Like Danny DeVito? Like what? Oh, God.
Nailed it.
I mean, really? I mean, like, who could play a good Varric?
Moving on.
Yeah. All right. One Track Gamers. The podcast One Track Gamers, they say kick ass. Now that would actually be really pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Because they could just go for that hardcore violence and insanity of that series. Yeah. I agree.
Haggis McHaggis at Haggis_McHaggis says, like everyone else is probably saying Firefly, Constantine 2, and the classic You Can't Do That on Television.
Oh man.
Would that be cameo from Alanis Morissette?
Yeah. Alanis Morissette and Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. That was that was a Canadian show, was it not? It'd have to be all Canadians again, right?
Yeah. When I was little, I didn't know that such a thing existed, like a Canadian show.
Uh-huh.
And I would watch it, and I'm like, why do they talk so strangely? Like, they would do the abouts, and, you know, and I'm obviously not going to do it, but I would be. I was so jammed as a little kid because I was like, they have the strangest accents. I couldn't figure it out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Matt, what is your answer to Ash's question?
I have three.
Oh, I do too.
Because I'm me.
Okay.
All varied answers, but the first one that came to mind for me was I would still love to see like I could make this more general, but I'm going to be specific first, which is Dragonlance done right, like a D&D series done correctly and not in the hokiest way created. But I could also just say that honestly about any role playing from like the old Vampire the Masquerade to the Werewolf series to D&D or whatever it might be, or Shadowrun. Like, I would be cool with any one of those being turned into a Netflix style.
Even a short-lived vampire show that was on was actually okay. And if
it was okay,
if that came to Netflix, it would be even better.
Right. Yeah. I'd be down with that. So that would be cool. The thing I really want, like really, really would love to have is, did you guys watch Chef's Table after I talked about it or no?
No. I don't really watch cooking shows.
My wife, I think Jen watched a couple episodes.
I mean, it's just like a really gorgeous documentary about chefs, essentially. I would really love to see them do a multi-season run of that, but about focused on different genres of music, like at different points in time. Oh, I would love to see like a gorgeously shot with like old footage and talking to the bands now and of like, you know, 80s DC punk and then like 90s Seattle and then like just like taking different major points of genre in music and like doing a really just fucking gorgeous version of that. Awesome. And then I was going to echo Ash's. I would love... I like the Marvel shows make me want to have more Marvel shows. So like any one of those X-Men, any one of the ones that have not been done justice yet, I would be down for, or really any God. I mean, Netflix just does like, why The Last Man? Let's just do that. Like,
yeah.
That
would be awesome. Gosh, it'd be so good.
You know, anything Rick Remender wrote, I'd be down for. So I don't know. I'm good with any of those, but
what if they, what if they picked up that, ill-fated, pilot for, Lock and Key.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Lock and Key would be amazing. Like, like any one of those, like there's so many, I think, encapsulated comic books that could make a really awesome series run between Lock and Key or Why the Last Man or, God, the name, the Rick Remender one that I'm thinking of is escaping me right now. I think I told you, I think you guys might've even read it, but it was about like a 50s ish sci-fi take on us on the space I'm blanking the name, but anyways, yeah, I think there's plenty of those little series runs that could be done. That would be
Manhattan Project?
No, but Manhattan Project's fantastic. That's not Remender, but that would be awesome as well.
Okay,
any one of these. Look, there's so many comic books, guys.
So many.
But yeah, so that's my rambling answer. My big one would be any tabletop game, preferably probably Dragonlance for me because that was what I grew up on. Or I would really love music documentaries shot and done as well as they've done documentaries on other stuff. That would be incredible.
Awesome.
Pyroquisitor at Mama Nita says Blade's daughter. Her name escapes me right now, but I'd love to see it. Blade had a daughter?
I think her name is Fallon Gray, according to the internet.
I didn't read any Blade, really. I read a little bit of, what was it, Morbius was the guy he fought all the time? That
had
his own
series. Vampire guy, yeah.
I read some Morbius, but I never really read Blade too often.
Ooh. Next is an irrelevant dad, and he says, Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Have you guys read Squirrel Girl?
I have not.
I know that I trust heavily with comics says that it's like one of the greatest series in the world, and I have not done it yet.
Fun fact for our listeners, our guest on episode 226, Sissy Jones, is the voice of Squirrel Girl.
On not Earth's Mightiest Avengers, but the other one, right?
I have not seen it yet. I just remembered that talking to her. Cool.
Patrick Weeks. Oh, hey, Patrick. Patrick Weeks says Spider-Woman, She-Hulk, and or Ms. Marvel.
He's getting a Ms. Marvel movie.
Yep.
I don't know too much about Spider-Woman.
She's a woman spider.
Oh, okay.
Man.
As I'm not a comic person, but the concept seems interesting to me for sure.
There's like there's multiple takes on her, I think, right? And there's like the new one is the red-suited one that she is, and I can't remember the character's name offhand.
Yeah, she's like a spy, S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
What's her name? Jessica something.
Oh, yeah. Sounds awesome.
It's escaping me.
Bunny at Winged Lioness says next wave smiley face. Oh, it's a Warren Ellis series.
Oh, there we go. I never keep up with that guy. He's written too many things.
Published by Marvel. Looks cool. I'm down.
Nice. Jesse Lamb, Axel 99. Hey, Jesse says Spider Gwen, Deadpool, Batgirl, The Losers, 100 Bullets, and Person of Interest.
Ooh, 100 Bullets. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Let's see. Jedi Knight Baker at ABakerN7 says, since they are already in Hell's Kitchen, can we please see Ms. Marvel? She could inject some joy into those broody heroes.
Sure.
It'd be great.
Begin a movie,
Scott,
right?
What's your answer?
I would like to see a TV series, like in a sort of like a dark TV series for like Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Oh.
Okay.
You know, so like a crime mystery thing, but like,
did you listen to the Nerdist where they talked about how they pitched?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. So I thought that was really, I mean, it's still amazing what they were able to do in terms of like putting, different IPs together and also for the time, being able to put animated characters on screen with live action characters. I just think the whole thing is amazing, and the story would be really great for like a 10-part series where you could unravel some crazy mystery with cartoons and stuff. And then my other real answer would be a spy comedy show. So Get Smart.
Oh, nice.
And I was thinking of who might be good for this role. And then I realized that Brooklyn Nine-Nine is basically Get Smart.
Oh, yeah,
cause Andy Samberg.
Yeah. Without all the hijinks, like the goofy takes on Bond.
Yes.
Stuff. You yeah. know?
But I think, either like he would be good for that, or, you know, Winston from New Girl would be great as like a Get Smart, Agent 86, or even like Gender Swap, you know, and like, yeah. let a funny female be the lead character. Cause you know, Agent 86 is kind of the goof. And then, you know, 99, the counterpart is the one that actually is like the smart one and, you know,
right.
figures things out. And like 86 kind of stumbles into everything, but I think you could gender swap that and it'd still be really funny, you know?
That's cool.
You know, I loved Get Smart, and obviously I'm a Bond fan, but I was also a really big fan of the No One Lives Forever games. And I just always thought that like, that would be, you know, the spy stuff was popular when Bond was popular, but I think you could still do spy comedy today and it'd be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. So there you go. And then, you know, the main thing would be like a mashup Roger Rabbit thing.
Yeah. I mean, I was pretty interested when they talked about pitching that. I was like, oh, that would have been cool.
That was a crazy story.
Kylo Holt at Keel Hall says, any Pratchett series, it's been done in the past, but with horribly awkward and painful results.
Claw Glib, Chris Jenkins, hey buddy, he says, Saga, puppets and practical effects and violence, oh my.
Saga would be fun.
Yeah, I think so.
Like on Netflix. It would have to be on somewhere where they, or like HBO or something.
Yeah, because they show wieners a lot.
They do. A lot of boning in that comic too.
Yep.
Boning. Cliffy Joel says, Mass Effect has the lore. It's got a big enough universe so they could do whatever they want without affecting the games. And I would tend to agree. Something set in the universe would be okay.
Yes. Melissa Parker Karen at Mayoak says, you moved him. God, stop moving him, Ash.
You know.
Would totally watch a Fables show. I would too.
Mm-hmm.
Fables is fantastic. And would also watch an Assassin's Creed TV show.
No, I didn't know she was
just actually her watching me play Assassin's Creed.
I was going to say, I didn't know she was a big Assassin's Creed fan.
She likes, she really loves the Desmond parts.
Yes.
No.
Thanks, Melissa.
No.
No, she likes watching me play like the first two, and then she's watched me play a little bit of the pirate one.
You laugh, but the first game would have never have gone anywhere without the present day stuff. It would have just been like another action game where you're running around killing people and you just have been like, okay, I'm gonna shoot these guys, whatever. And there would be no other games. It would be like one of those AA titles that comes out mid console life cycle.
What I really like to think is that I said that, and for a brief second, you were like, "Oh, cool! Oh, wait, he's fucking with me."
For a second, I think he did for at least a half a second there. He was like, "Oh,
my point." You see my point though, right?
But you really love Desmond, and you'll argue it to the end.
I think that's what makes the game different from any other thing that was out there at the time.
Is that I thought like, it was like the free running and assassinating people thing.
No, because that's Prince of Persia. Like that game already exists.
Have this conversation right now.
That game already exists, and it's called Prince of Persia. And then when you add something to it, it becomes a different game.
I love it.
Okay,
that's cool, Scott. I agree with you.
There's a reason they killed Desmond off, Scott.
Yeah, but there is no reason why they killed Lucy Stillman. That's really.
Oh, you're still sore about that.
Yeah, spoiler alert, everybody. Sorry about that.
Because she's super famous, man.
That's true. You would never get her back for the TV show.
Couldn't afford her.
Yeah. Get that frozen dope.
Hey, we did it.
We did it. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning into episode 227 of the Rated NA podcast. As always, you can find us on Twitter, and that's at Nerd Appropriate. You can email us. That is Matt, Scott, Ash at nerdappropriate.com or nerds at nerdappropriate.com. We've got a YouTube account, which is /nerdappropriate on YouTube. And there's a lot of old videos of old podcasts up there that you can watch. And I just added another few, I think, a couple days ago. So there's new stuff up there. On the Facebook page, which is /nerdappropriate on Facebook. And that's about it for this week. And we'll be back next week with all new stuff. And definitely check out some of our older episodes. We've had some great guests on in the past couple months.
Absolutely.
And we'll be getting more soon.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh,
maybe now I'll get back on the sauce. You know, just fucking pound like 10 a day, lay there in my underwear.
Leave me alone. I'm playing Tomb Raider.